The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
We must work longer. French President Emmanuel Macron's message as he prepares to reform France's retirement system. Macron is also seeking to expedite the delivery of armoured vehicles to Ukraine to help the war effort there. But he also found time to sit down for a rather open and honest televised interview with a group of journalists on the autism spectrum. Now, to get into all of these stories, I'm joined now by France correspondent for the Irish Times, Lara Marlow. Lara, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
We'll talk about his love life in a moment or two, but let's talk about retirement and pensions, because this has long been a thorny issue in French politics.
Yes, it's what we call an old chestnut. It always comes back as a story. And every time it comes back, there's a crisis. There are strikes, especially in public transport. And personally, I kind of dread it, but we'll get through it. And I think Macron is really determined this time. He tried it 2 years ago, and there were 2 months of public transport strikes when he did. And then he had to give up. He just dropped it because of the COVID pandemic.
Now, what does he want to do? Because here we had a political rouse about extending the retirement age initially to 67 and maybe ultimately in a couple of decades' time to 70 to make it affordable for the whole system to pay for it. Now, what's the issue in France?
Well, it's also about financing the system, which is in deficit, always in deficit. But he only wants to raise the age from 62 to 64. Initially, he said 65, and there was such an outcry that he said, okay, 64. So it's 64 now, and he also wants to extend the number of years you have to work to obtain a full pension to 43 years. It's not clear. He should be able to pass the law, because it looks like Les Républicains, which is the Conservative Party, will support him. They've always been for making people work longer. But Marine Le Pen and her Rassemblement National have said they will fight it to the death. They say it's an unfair, unjust reform, and they won't let it through. The far left has also really vehemently opposed to this reform. One sort of tidbit, a little prize, which the government will be offering, is to raise the minimum pension to $1,200 a month for everyone. Or, well, actually, initially they're saying for people who retire from now on, but they may actually, in debates in Parliament, extend that to all pensions. And for people earning minimum wage, that this is quite a big improvement. Some people are getting, say, $900 a month as their pension.
Now, when you do the sums, if you retire, if he gets his way and you retire at 64, but you've worked 43 years to get a full pension, it would mean that you'd have to start your working life at 21. Now, I'm not sure at what age most young French people leave the education system. Some obviously leave in their teens and would qualify, but those people are maybe going into fairly arduous physical jobs.
That's right. And the pénibilité, the difficulty, the hardness of work has been a consideration until now. For example, a public transport driver, a train or a bus driver in Paris, now retires between the age of 52 and 56. So to go from 52 to 64 is quite a jump. And understandably, they're very, very much against this. But most people, I mean, it's a minority who do university studies, who would get their degrees at the age of 22, usually. A lot of people leave the education system at 18. So, yes, I mean, for people in white-collar jobs, they're working beyond age 64 in many, many cases anyway. I mean, one very good point, I think, which was made by the Minister for Civil Service, Stanislas Guérini, who's very close to Macron. He said this morning that the real debate is about the French attitude to work. And a lot of commentators are saying that the French consider work to be some sort of form of torture, that they really need to learn to love work, that work is an important part of life and we need to enjoy it.
Yeah. Now, the question is, if you're in the system already, you know, if you're a train driver, a bus driver, you've been recruited many years ago, do you get to keep the privilege of retiring at 52 or 56, whatever it might be? And would it only be for new entrants entering that profession that they would look to a longer working life?
Yes, the retirement age is to be raised only for people born after 1968, and it doesn't come into force for I think it's 2030, something like that. So Macron will long be out of office by the time it actually comes into force. It does not apply immediately. So it will be a sort of soft, peddled, slow realization of this reform. He's not going to do it brutally all at once.
Now, let's move on to military support for Ukraine. And I mean, France has already been contributing, but they are going to offer armored vehicles. How significant is that?
It is significant. Macron, the real purpose, the French are saying, is that they want to pull others along. They want to inspire others to also give more military hardware. And in fact, right after Macron made this announcement that he's giving AMX-10 light reconnaissance vehicles, the German Chancellor Olaf Scholz announced that Germany will give these Marder fighting vehicles, which Ukraine has been asking for months. I mean, this has been going on since last summer. They've been complaining that the Germans promise these, but they're not giving them, and the Germans are waffling and so on. So he's trying to encourage the Germans and the Americans to give actual battle tanks. Until now, they have not, although the Americans are also giving Bradley fighting vehicles. The Americans just announced that they're giving an extra $3 billion in military aid for Ukraine, including the Bradleys, but also including Patriot missiles to shoot down incoming Russian missiles. And at every stage in the war, the donations of equipment have fallen short of what the Ukrainians are asking for at any given time, because they asked for the Patriots almost since the beginning of the war. They were asking for them for 10 months. They've been asking for tanks. The West, Europe and the US are pouring tens of billions of euros worth of military hardware into the conflict. But it's a bottomless pit. I mean, they will never give everything that the Ukrainians need and want. The Czechs gave the Ukrainians T-72s, which are Soviet-made tanks, at the end of last year, with the support of the Germans and the Americans. The Ukrainians are reported to have lost 441 tanks in the war so far, but they're also capturing Russian tanks. So it's a constant escalation of hardware, and Macron wants to be seen as a leader in this. He's also given the Caesar multiple rocket launchers, which are sort of a French version of an American HIMAR. And Macron has been criticized a lot by the Ukrainians for remarks he's made about not humiliating Russia and about not making Russia feel threatened. And this absolutely infuriates the Ukrainians. So one has the impression that he's in a way almost trying to compensate for that bad feeling by giving them more weapons and by encouraging other allies to also give more weapons.
Are the French people largely in support? We know Marine Le Pen was initially criticized for her association with Putin, which she tried to distance herself from as quickly as she could. But French people generally supportive of Macron's support of Ukraine?
Yes, but it's kind of fading a bit as an issue. And there also is a sort of bedrock of anti-Americanism in French public opinion and of sympathy for Russia. I've come across this very often in talks with French people, and they say they'll say, oh, you know, it's disgraceful, it's horrible, they've invaded Ukraine, but it's the fault of NATO because they threatened Russia, you know, and it always comes. There is this kind of almost doctrine that Russia had obtained promises that NATO would not expand to the east. Those promises were broken. Therefore, it is the fault of NATO and the West. And also the Americans are trying to use Ukraine, exploit Ukraine to get at Russia, and so on. So it's almost a schizophrenic attitude. On the one hand, they support Ukraine. They have sympathy for the Ukrainians. They've let about 110,000 Ukrainian refugees into France, which is much lower proportionally than what Ireland has received. But at the same time, they do have a bit of a weak spot for Russia.
Now, let's talk about this interview that Macron gave to a group of journalists on the autistic spectrum. And unexpectedly, in terms of his response, he was quite frank, well, sort of, about his love life.
Yes, it's not something he has often talked about, although he wrote about it a bit in the book that he published during the campaign. Macron is a romantic. He, at least if we believe this interview, and I think he was sincere, he was very laid back, relaxed. He was wearing a polo neck jumper. He kept winking at his audience of autistic people. He said that love is everything. Love makes everything possible. He said you don't choose it. It just falls upon you. And he said also that it's not foreordained. It's not written anywhere, he said, that you will fall in love with someone who is like you, who's your age or who's from the same place that you are. He said that it's overpowering. It takes you, it's something beyond you. And obviously his wife, Brigitte, is 24 years older than him, which is, I don't have to tell you how unusual that is. And when he met her, he was a teenager. He was 16 years old, and she was his drama teacher and was married with three children. And he, as a teenage boy, took her away from her husband, and she followed him to Paris, where he was studying, where he actually failed an important examination because he was so in love with Brigitte. And eventually they married. And he actually said in the same interview that he was asked about his family. And he said, well, my wife had three children, and I took them with her. And they now have Brigitte and Emmanuel Macron now have seven grandchildren.
It's extraordinary because they asked him, perhaps mischievously, you know, you're not exactly giving good example to teenagers today to start hanging around with teacher.
Exactly. First, he said it's not about setting an example. When you're in love, the choice isn't yours. And then he tried to kind of fudge it. And he said, well, she wasn't exactly my teacher. She was my drama coach. It's not quite the same thing. And the whole group just burst into laughter, and he chuckled too. And one of the autistic journalists said, il est malin, il est malin. He's crafty, he's crafty. So he turned it into a joke.
He was asked about Putin as well, and his comment was quite interesting, that Putin, when you meet him in person, is not unpleasant at all, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he said that's the paradox. I mean, he is criticized for having tried to make nice with Putin, for being very, very chummy with Putin on several occasions in the past. So maybe he's trying to justify that. But he also did say that nothing justified the invasion of Ukraine.
Lara Marlow, France correspondent for the Irish Times, thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.